Hey, everyone, this is Brett Boone. Would you know it? I've got a podcast going strong in our fourth year. Tune in as I sit down with my friends, some of the biggest names in sports, media, entertainment, for a lot of fun and in-depth conversations. As you know, baseball's been my life. It's been in the family for a long time, but it's a lot more than that here. It's sort of like taking a ride in a golf cart around a beautiful track. Join me every week for multiple episodes on the Brett Boone Podcast, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to you for listening, wherever you might be. You could be here in Georgia, Kansas City, Oakland, Alaska, Miami, New York with super producer and host Ryan Hickey. You could be in Minneapolis, Chicago, Buffalo, Houston, Texas, the new home of Stephon Diggs. You could be in Rhode Island. Arizona. What's up, Phoenix? We got a lot of people in Phoenix, Arizona. Final Four on the men's side's getting ready to go on. Dan Hurley and UConn, they have finally arrived. Well, they arrived early this morning. I'm sure some of their players just woke up. I know Dan Hurley just had his press conference, so there you have it. I wonder if it'll get used as an excuse. I'm not so sure about that. Hey, how about this? In about 20 minutes from now, we'll have a conversation with Terrence Oglesby. He covers college basketball for the Field of 68. He's also an analyst for the Charlotte Hornets. This man knows basketball backwards, forward, front, back, side to side. So we're going to have a chat with Terrence Oglesby coming up in 20 minutes. We'll dive into the Final Four. We already see Haley Van Lith is deciding to leave LSU. Part of it has to do, I assume, with Angel Reese no longer being there. We know Angel Reese decided to declare for the WNBA draft yesterday. And there's only but so much I think anybody wants to deal with Kim Mulkey, right? Hickey, how long would you stand her yelling at you?
One practice.
Just one?
Just one. I'd say, you know what, coach? I've had enough. I'm out of here.
Yeah, and then you got to listen to her press conferences on the side. I know, right? How about that? She's God bless her. 1 year and she's done. No mas. LeBron James, by the way, had some high praise for the women's game. We'll talk about that later on in the show. And Hickey, UConn, the plane, how many times was the plane delayed? Like three times last night, right? Late night, early morning, the plane was delayed?
Delayed like three different times. They had two different planes. One was scheduled to come, and that was the one with mechanical issues. And they had another plane coming from like Cincinnati, and that was like low on fuel, depending on how many people were on the plane.
Oh, so, my God.
Multiple hours, multiple planes, but they have touchdown in Phoenix eventually.
I heard that they got to Phoenix, Arizona. It must have been about 6, 7 a.m. Eastern time.
Oh.
Like they left. They didn't leave until what? Like 1 in the morning, I believe? Left that. That's about right. They left at about 1 in the morning. I don't think they really got there until about 6. Damn. They got enough time. They don't play until Saturday. And I think they're the late game. I think Purdue is going to go at it with North Carolina State. That's the early game. And so, look, UConn should and will be perfectly fine against Alabama. And if they're not, hey, conspiracy theory, great excuse, prepare yourself because everybody's going to have many of them. We'll hear from Coach Hurley later on in the show. Thank you to everybody listening on the free Odyssey app, your local affiliate, SiriusXM Channel 158, CBSSportsRadio.com, and smart speakers. We've already had a good show. Thank you so much to Joe Shasky for calling up from the Bay Area, from San Francisco. He co-hosts the morning show out in the Bay Area, 95.7 The Game. The news early this morning that hit was, I'm sure you've heard by now, the Oakland Athletics. They're moving. This is going to be their last year in San Fran. Excuse me. I don't even know where they play anymore. This is going to be their last year in Oakland. They're going to play the next 3 years at minimum out in Sacramento at a minor league ballpark before ultimately moving to Las Vegas. So it's like sleeping on your friend's couch. And it's like, hey, can I sleep here for a couple days? And a couple days turns into a month. Oakland Athletics are just on baseball welfare right now. They're going to go to Sacramento, haven't even put a stone in the ground on what their next home will be or where it will be. Yeah, it's supposed to be on the Tropicana. A miserable-ass ownership group of John Fisher. Just sad, all these changes. And speaking of changes, this caught some traction as well over the past several days, over the past several months. We all know about the changes in college football, right? Just college sports in general. We all know about NIL. We've seen all of the old coaches quit in the major sports. I'm not talking about major sports. I'm talking about the ones that generate the revenue. I'm talking about football and basketball. There's no Nick Saban. He said, I'm done with this crap. I got parents coming up to me asking me, hey, how much is my kid going to make? Wow. Coach K, he's like, I ain't doing this no more. Hey, Shire, it's your job. I'm not doing this. It's a different sport. Because now it's all a business for everybody. Not just the coaches, not just the schools or the sponsors, but the players as well. This is business for everybody. And so because the NCAA decided to throw their hands up and just go, all right, fine, let the students make money with no barriers, no parameters. Because the players can move and the schools can move and they can jump conferences. Everybody can do what they want. It's like the Oakland Athletics times a million. We got leeches. We can call them leeches. We got people who want to take advantage. We got people who look at the dysfunction and see an opportunity. They smell money. They want to get rid of the NCAA. They want to rip the NCAA, which is pretty much already broken at the seams. They want to say, hey, screw all these other sports. We want to take football and we want to commercialize it. We want to create something in college football called College Sports Tomorrow, the CST. Yeah, forget the NCAA. We are the CST, and it's what we want to do. We want to create a two-league structure, 134 schools in two divisions. We want to treat this like Europe. We want to have the top 70 schools in Division One, and then we want to throw the second tier of schools in the second division. If you do good, you elevate. If you do bad, you relegate. Top eight teams will, in different conferences, they'd break it down into eight. They go to the playoffs, then you get another eight. The next top eight schools based on record and percentage, winning percentage and what have you. They wouldn't have a selection committee. Just go by whoever won their division or conference, plus whoever was on the back end from there. The players would have a union. The union would handle NIL rights and what money and what money the players could make and how they could make it. There would be regulations there. The union would negotiate what the transfer portal would look like. The union would also decide, think about this, ready for this? Because it is a union. What's the salary structure? How much of the student athletes, weird to say that, I guess we can throw that word in the toilet now. How much of the student athletes going to get paid? There are 20 college presidents, NFL executives, and business people who want to do this. There are some leagues who don't want to do this at all. Some of the conferences don't want to do this because they're currently already in television distribution deals. They can't move. SEC, Big 12, Big 10, they're making money already. They don't need to do this unless, quote unquote, they're going to get bought out. And why if I'm ESPN, why would I buy out one of my most highly watched products? Everybody has a great idea. Do I believe that we're going to get a college football super league? Yes, I do. But not right now. No time soon. Maybe at some point in the next 10 years, yeah. I think what we got now is, and we see it already, where the hell is a Pac-12? What is it? Two? Pac nothing? Pac zero? We're going to see the destruction of more conferences. That's it. And as we see the destruction of more conferences, we will naturally see a consolidation. But these are big moves. A lot of lawyers going to get paid off of this. A players union in college football? Wow, okay. The negotiation of new television agreements? Oh, yeah, okay. Salary structure? Wow. Whoever comes up with this is going to have to throw a whole lot of money on the table to make a lot of their current problems go away. Someone who understands this, and he thinks it's going to happen sooner than I do, is a former quarterback in the NFL. Someone who's a head coach right now of UAB right down the road from me in Birmingham. It's Trent Dilfer. He says a college football breakaway into a separate entity? Oh, it's coming, and it's coming sooner than you think.
I think what's coming, I'm pretty confident in this, talking to people far more powerful than me, but these are billionaires in the Bay Area, and there's going to be a break off of about 50 to 60 teams, and they're going to be professional football. And then everybody else is going to be what you're saying. Is this, call it G5, call it college football, call it whatever you want. We're going to be competing on hopefully a more level playing field. That's coming way faster than anybody can anticipate. And there's people active, there's venture capitalists right now actively looking to buy college franchises. I think it's faster than everybody saying 2 to 5 years that this thing gets turned upside down. I think it's in the next 18 months.
Well, oh, man, that's aggressive. Aggressive much. You're going to need one guy with billions and billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars to just switch this up. Hickey, what do you think? I think we've seen college sports. We've seen college basketball. We've seen college football. We've seen it all change. But to think about it happening in a year and a half, I don't know about that one.
I would agree with the timeline. I don't think it's going to happen that fast, but I do think it's going to happen at some point, I'll say within the next decade. And I think it's necessary at this point. Like, there's no rules. And also, too, like, it's, if you really think about it, it is ridiculous that you have Alabama, and no disrespect to Trent Dilfer's program, but we'll use it here as an example. Alabama and UAB are not on the same playing, like, on the same playing level in any aspect. Right? Finances, players, recruiting power, but they're in the same league. It doesn't make any sense why, like, they're playing under the same rules. And I think a breakaway would benefit it, would benefit Alabama, but also, like Trent said, UAB, in the sense that they would be in a league with teams that they can actually compete against in theory to win a championship, not in a power in a Division I league that they have zero chance of ever winning a championship.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, this is what has killed me about the season, especially like early on before you really dive into conference play, is that the teams are scheduling games not for competitiveness, but for money. Like, we got college sports at the beginning of the year. We have teams that are showing up just to get waxed. It's like a boxer who gets paid just to take a dive. Like, that I hate that. I start really diving into college football as the year starts to really, really gear up. And we get out of this nonsense of, well, how much you going to pay me to play the game? Well, let's schedule the game. Well, we going to beat you 60 to 10. Well, we'll pay you $3 million. Like, that's not sports. It's not competitive. That's garbage. It's garbage. And so we got enough of that. I mean, look, sports is popular enough to still be watched live. And so whether it's college or the pros or Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese from this past Monday, people want to watch sports, and they want to watch the sports live. Whether it's because they love it, they have an affinity for it, or they just want to gamble on it, it's one of the few things people want to watch live. And so for college football, oh yeah, there's going to be a change. It has to deal with money. But until there's a clear structure on how existing money and contracts can get fixed, altered, or cleaned up, where everybody still makes the same amount of money or more, it's going to stay the same. Does it need to change? Yes, it's needed to change for a long time. Unfortunately, the NCAA, I don't want to compare everything to the Oakland A's. They tried to milk all the money out the system. Didn't want to leave any money for the players. And then we were pretty much left with the Wild Wild West. What happens when that dastardly absentee parent just walks away from the kids? The kids do whatever the hell they want to do. They tear the house up. They act crazy. They drive your grandparents nuts. That's what we got in college football. Where's the oversight? There is none. Everybody can do what they want, except for these adults. These are adults. And the people behind them got billions of dollars. They'll figure it out. And it'll take years. I don't know about Trent Dilfer's year and a half. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to dive deeper specifically into college basketball. Terrence Oglesby is going to join us in 5 minutes. He covers college basketball for the Field of 68, and he is also an analyst professionally for the Charlotte Hornets. Terrence Oglesby on the other side. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, CBS Sports Radio.
This is Matt Spiegel, and we are off and running with Season 2 of the PBP, Voices of Baseball. The very best play-by-play voices in the game talk about their craft. Hear guests like Joe Davis explain the thought process during baseball's biggest games.
You got to widen the lens. What does this home run mean?
Harper, the swing of his life!
Incredible broadcasters sharing great stories from your favorite teams with new episodes weekly. Find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. Oh, yeah, I'm ready to groove all weekend. We got the women's Final Four tomorrow. We got the men's Final Four on Saturday. It's the most wonderful time of the year to talk about it all. What we might see tomorrow, what we might see on Saturday, what we might see on Championship Sunday and Monday, we're being joined by Terrence Oglesby, who covers college basketball for the Field of 68 and is also an analyst for Charlotte Hornets basketball. Terrence, how are you?
I'm doing well. How you guys doing?
Excellent. Thank you for taking the time to hop on. Let's get into some of the basketball that's staring us in the eye tomorrow. We obviously have South Carolina looking to wipe the floor, be undefeated, go all the way through against North Carolina. And then we got UConn against Iowa, as we all know. We got Caitlin Clark. And we see some of the big names are gone. I mean, Angel Reese is gone. Caitlin Clark is obviously still there. What are you excited about checking out tomorrow?
I think the matchup between Paige Beckers and Caitlin Clark is the one to watch. I mean, it seemed like whenever Paige Beckers came in to the fold, she was going to be the next big thing. And then obviously injuries derailed this and that. But and ever since then, it's been the Caitlin Clark show as far as women's college basketball is concerned. She's been great, nothing short of it. It's amazing to me with the women's tournament how many storylines just seem to come out on a week-to-week basis. And now Caitlin Clark, she never was recruited by UConn. That was her school growing up. She goes to Iowa. She's the face of women's college basketball. It's just such a unique there's so many great storylines when you head into the women's Final Four.
And some of the other storylines that we see, we got both UConn on the men's side and a women's side. We have North Carolina State, the Wolfpack, on the men and a women's side. This is pretty cool for both organizations. Do you think this is kind of a one-off, or might we see this going into the future as well?
Well, I think Wes Moore at NC State, it's kind of been a reoccurring theme with him for a long time. I mean, he's been great for years. I think the surprise is obviously Kevin Keats and company, who's been able to get hot at the perfect time, win 9 in a row, and now they're in Phoenix trying to figure out ways to stop Zach Edey. I think that's really, really cool. The UConn thing, as far as I'm concerned, as long as Gino Auriemma's there, as long as Dan Hurley's there, they're going to be a threat to be in the Final Four on both sides, men's and women's, for the foreseeable future. I think it's really cool. It says a lot about the importance of basketball within that university. And it's exciting times for both schools. But NC State's certainly been a surprise.
Basketball analyst Terrence Oglesby is here with us, the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio. And you could talk about UConn and its importance to the state as an overall. Connecticut sandwiched in between the tri-state area of New York and New England. It's basketball and UConn is pretty much a king up there. What do you think about the odds of UConn being knocked off this Saturday as they get ready to take on Alabama?
Hey, look, Alabama's been playing really well. And Mark Sears, his performance against Clemson in that Elite Eight game was one of the best individual performances I've seen in a long time in the NCAA tournament. 7 threes in a row in conjunction with some of these passes that he was throwing around Clemson defenders that, quite frankly, they were rotating at a really high rate. Really good defensive possessions by Clemson, and it didn't matter because Mark Sears was still finding guys. He was sensational. Do I think he's going to be able to continue to be that level of sensational against UConn? I would venture to guess no. UConn just has so much length around a perimeter, and then you have Donovan clinging at the five spot, just protecting everything that happens inside of 8 to 10 feet. I mean, he really is the lead on the defensive end of the floor. I don't see how Alabama is going to be able to get going offensively in the same manner in which they did against Clemson.
Well, Terrence, this has certainly been a hot story over the past 24 hours. It's UConn and it's travel issues. Big deal, small deal, no deal by the time we get to tip off on Saturday night.
I think it depends on who you ask. If you ask Dan Hurley, it's a huge deal. And he's going to feed into this. He's going to feed into this whole UConn against the world thing that he's been driving home for the past 2 weeks, which, to be honest with you, I don't quite understand. I'm not sure who, if anybody, has been disrespecting UConn and how good they've been this year, but Dan Hurley found one or two people that talked bad about UConn, and he's taking a vengeance. No, I mean, obviously, it throws your schedule out of whack. It's more of an annoyance than a true hindrance. I think UConn's going to be fine. I feel like they're going to handle Alabama, and it just adds a little bit more gasoline to that perpetual flame that's inside of Dan Hurley. And these guys, they're just playing so well at this point. It's such a well-oiled machine. UConn's performing as well as any team I've seen since the 21 Baylor team that was awesome in the tournament. So I'm curious to see how it carries forward. I obviously think UConn's going to win that one. And we talk all the time, you want the best two teams to play in the NCAA championship. Well, if Purdue and UConn were able to do that, those are the best two teams in college basketball, and they've been the best two teams in college basketball all season long. That would be a perfect cap to what I think has been a terrific college basketball season.
Basketball analyst Terrence Oglesby is here with us. Do you think, it sounds like you got a Purdue taking on UConn on Monday night. You see UConn cutting down them nets. Do we still get a Dan Hurley afterwards who's saying nobody believed in us?
I don't know who's not believing in him at this point. Look, I love Dan Hurley, but sometimes you got to fuel your own fire. And you see a lot of the great ones, they've always done that, whether it's Michael Jordan and some of his rhetoric going around with somebody saying, well, you're not having it today, Mike, or something like that. And he goes off for 25 to 30 in the fourth quarter. Like, the great ones always find that motivation and ambition to be great no matter what the circumstance, even when you're widely regarded as the best team or the best individual. You have to find that fire within, if you will. And I think UConn certainly has done that. Purdue, they have the immovable force, right? Like, Zach Edey has been great. I really am excited to see Zach Edey against Donovan Clingan if we're able to get that matchup. And I'm not trying to look over NC State and Alabama. I just feel like the best two teams need to play for the gold ball, if you will. And I think if that's the case, it's going to be UConn and Purdue. And at that point, it's a pick 'em for me because both of those teams have been so good all season long.
You could see Zach Edey going to work on Monday night, if they get there, going to work on the inside and then kicking that ball out for all those threes.
Yeah, absolutely. And some of those guys, Braden Smith, those guys at Purdue, the guys around him aren't getting enough credit. And I realize Zach Edey's been as good as advertised. There's not many guys that can go for, 30 and 25 on a regular basis in the NCAA tournament. Some of the things he's been doing are kind of embarrassing because he's been so good. But Fletcher Lawyer, Kaufman Wren, Lance Jones has been a terrific addition. And Braden Smith is one of the best point guards that I still feel that doesn't get enough attention around college basketball. These guys are really, really good. And it's not just Zach Edey, but having Zach Edey certainly helps.
Without a shadow of a doubt. When you take a look at the opposition on Saturday for Purdue and North Carolina State, Everybody over the past week and a half has fallen in love with DJ Burns. Earlier today, I think we fall in love with him a little bit more. It says, I got no interest in football. I don't care what scouts are looking at me. What chance do they stand? Everybody has a chance. But what chance do they stand against Purdue? Do they not have enough?
You know what? What NC State does have on the perimeter is something that at times Purdue has struggled with. And they haven't lost a lot of games, but even going back to last year with Braden Smith and Fletcher Loyer, they've struggled with guards that really pressure and create turnovers. Well, what does NC State have? They have DJ Horn, Jaden Taylor, Casey Morsell, Michael O'Connell, guys that can create turnovers. So when you really think about it, it is possible that NC State could make some runs within the flow of this game. They've just been so solid this season, and they don't really turn the ball over all that much. I mean, Purdue, every now and then they'll start to cough it up, but there's so much shooting on the floor. Matt Painter's playbook is as thick as the Bible, so it's like one of these things, like, they're going to have an answer for everything that NC State does. We'll see how the rest of those players need to play. But if they shoot the ball well, it's really hard to find out how you guard this Purdue team because there's so many weapons.
Terrence Oglesby is here with us, covers college basketball for the Field of 68. And Terrence, we have certainly heard over the past several years that they want to expand the field a little bit more. I think it's inevitable. What are your thoughts on expanding the playoff and poking and prodding at the regular season?
I think there needs to be some changes made, especially to the metrics that are determining the seeding for the NCAA tournament. Now, this year, the net really did a nice job. Like, when you looked at the Sweet 16, I want to say 13 of the top 16 in the net made the Sweet 16. I think that's a great thing. However, it's after those top 13 is where it gets a little bit dicey. And I thought some teams got in that didn't necessarily deserve to get in. But at the same time, as far as expanding the NCAA tournament, I'm not against it. And a lot of people in my position have been, because they're like, well, the tournament's perfect. Doesn't need to be messed with. Yeah, but at the same time, you have to look at it from an NCAA perspective. They've always wanted roughly a quarter of the schools that are participating within Division I in a postseason, so to speak. So to expand that, Division I is expanding. It's up to a rapid rate. It seems like schools are jumping into Division I every year. I don't think you necessarily lose any quality in the product just because you add, 10 to 15 more teams. I think there's enough talent on the floor. I think college basketball is in a really good spot. There's a lot of people that are going to disagree with me there. But I also feel like the extra year of eligibility, coupled with the fact that basketball, there's as much talent on the floor as there's ever been, I think there's room for expansion now because the product is good.
Well, Terrence, having said that about the state of college basketball, on the women's side, we've seen this explosion. We've seen this massive interest, a record-breaking interest on Monday night between LSU and Iowa. Knowing that Caitlin Clark is moving on and Angel Reese is moving on, you still have a Beckers and Watkins at least. What do you think happens to the women's game? Has this just been a quick shot? Is this sustainable? Can it still go on an upward trend? What say you?
I think there's certainly an upward trend to be had because I think women's basketball has always been basically put in the forefront because of superstars. Whether you look back at Tennessee with Candace Parker or after that, there's been certain players that kind of step out in the forefront. Right now it's Caitlin Clark. Paige Beckers will be that person next year. There's always somebody that's willing to carry it forward. If I'm going to be honest, I thought that Caitlin Clark, I think she made a mistake by saying that she was going to leave for the NBA draft because I thought she could have got, or the WNBA draft, because I thought she could have gotten paid significantly more by staying in school and collecting NIL checks. So I understand the want to grow the women's professional game. I understand all that. But if you just push it back a year, you're probably putting a couple million dollars in your pocket. So I'm a little bit shocked that she decided to leave. But the upward trajectory as far as the women's game is concerned, I feel like it's going to continue because the problem with the women's game for so long is that there was no parity. It was UConn, it was Tennessee, there was a couple of other schools that were in the mix. And then after that, there was a considerable drop-off. There's more parity now. And I think that's a good thing for the women's game, and it's going to continue to be a good thing for the women's game because the product continues to improve. And then if the trajectory is going to continue, you have to continue to have those superstars. Having Paige Bueckers come back certainly helps that. Having Juju Watkins come back certainly helps that.
Why do you think we've had that change or adjustment, that leveled playing field? No UConn dominating everyone for 100 million games. Why do you think that's kind of evened out across the board?
Well, because Geno can only have, what, 11, 13 scholarship players? I think it's gained popularity and with everybody nationwide. And the thing is, if there's more people playing, there's going to be more better players, if that makes sense. So I think it certainly helps. The star power, the effort to push it to the forefront by some major media companies have certainly helped that. I would say that helps. And it also, somebody like Caitlin Clark, it helps push people to watch more. And then for more young girls to want to emulate what they're watching, because what they're watching is greatness.
Yeah, that is absolutely awesome. Final question here for Terrence Oglesby. We know your expertise lies in college basketball, but basketball, period. You're an analyst for the Hornets. Just a last question. What's going on with LaMelo Ball? Are his ankles ever going to be healthy? And then what does the new ownership group look like? We have no idea. Are the fans kind of lost with the Hornets right now?
Here's what I will say. There's a lot of optimism surrounding the new ownership group of the Hornets. Gabe Plotkin and Rick Schnall have been absolutely tremendous. They have made expeditious work of trying to get upgrades to the basketball venue there at the Spectrum Center in Charlotte. I'm really optimistic that they're going to get a lot of things heading in the right direction as far as the game presentation is concerned, because I'm going to be fully transparent, it's behind the rest of the NBA. And I think once they get involved a little bit more, they have a summer and off season under their belt, improvements are going to be made. They've already relieved Mitch Kupchak of his duties while keeping him within the organization. They've hired a young man named Jeff Peterson, who is absolutely the next big name in professional basketball. I'm just really excited to see where it's going to go. Steve Clifford, who I think is a really good person and a good coach, he's going to step aside. A new, younger coach is going to step into the fold. There's a lot of optimism brewing. Now, as far as LaMelo's concerned, half the time I don't know whether to take LeVar's words as hot air or actual put credence to him, because let's be real here. LaMelo hasn't been on the floor. Vasa Micic has played more games this season than LaMelo Ball, and Vasa came after the All-Star break. And it's worrisome, because LaMelo, while he certainly says that he wants to come back and play, it just hasn't. So I'm curious to see how it goes, how his ankles feel moving forward, whether it's the shoes, whether it's just his natural frame and build. I don't know. But whenever you're paid max money, you're going to be relied on to do more than just sell shoes and jerseys. You're going to be relied on to win games. And you can't do that from the sideline.
Yeah, he may have to get back on Dad's workout plan, that according to his father. Hey, Terrence, thank you so much for taking the time to hop on and talk some hoops. Where can people follow you and all of your work? I know you are quite busy.
I'm pretty busy right now. I'm not going to lie to you, man. It's on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it. You can find me there, @T_Oglesby, OGLESBY 22. Find me on there, follow me that way, and I'm all over the hoop scene, even during the summer. So appreciate you having me on, and whenever you need, just give me a call.
No doubt about it. Hey, enjoy all the basketball, Terrence. Be well.
All right, will do. Thank you.
That Terrence Oglesby covers college basketball for the Field of 68. He's also an analyst for the Charlotte Hornets. Pretty wild to think that the new ownership group has come after Michael Jordan and is deciding to upgrade the facilities and get younger. Come on, Michael, you're supposed to be the best. Supposed to bring in the best. But I guess when you're the old man and you're the old sage, the old wise sage, you just go by what you know. And sometimes you got to move the hell up on out the way. I don't think Michael Jordan is mad, because he made money in the sale. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. We just talked about UConn, and it's expected that the UConn men will win it all. Well, Dan Hurley spoke about an hour ago about the plane issues, the travel issues. And so we'll hear from Dan Hurley on the other side of the break from his press conference.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. Thank you so much to Terrence Oglesby for joining us in the last break, taking a look at the Final Four action in both the men and the women's side. The women get going tomorrow in Cleveland, Ohio, and the men, they get going on Saturday afternoon, obviously we know, in Phoenix, Arizona. And if you were not aware, the men, the men finally made it. The men from UConn finally made it. A matter of fact, their head coach, Dan Hurley, he spoke to the media last hour, and you would think that he'd be all hyped up and jazzed up, ready to complain. Well, he was, kind of, sort of. He said, you know what, right now, I'm not going to complain. Listen to Dan Hurley.
I've had a lot of thoughts, because I've had a lot of time to think, just in a stationary situation. But, you know, it's like, I think what goes through your mind once you're done, you know, kind of complaining and cursing and muttering and trying to, you know, you just start saying to yourself, you know, like, you don't really deserve to show entitlement. It's such an honor to get a chance to, and a once-in-a-lifetime experience to go play in a Final Four, coach in a Final Four, that, you know, it just, you know, once kind of that edge wore off, you start, you know, lucky to be here. We're lucky to get an opportunity to come play in the Final Four. And then who doesn't deal with problems with the airlines? I mean, people deal with it during the holidays, and it's just, it's something that you, you know, just got to get through, but it sucked.
Hickey, he is so humbled now. The airplane humbled him. Or either that, or he's so tired. Maybe that humbled him.
That sounds like he probably had a lot of other things he wanted to say, and someone, whether it was his wife, whether it was someone in the PR department, said, maybe let's just leave that for after the tournament. Maybe let's just, you know, give the politically correct answer.
So he wasn't tired?
Oh, I think you, maybe that was part of it. He was so tired, he was delusional, and he started talking nicely and sanely instead of the arrogant, confident talk he's had for a lot of this tournament.
Oh, well, I think he might have answered a question about if he is tired. Let's hear from Dan Hurley talk about how the hell he's kept on going.
Dan, you look terrific for somebody that didn't get any sleep. Terrific.
Yeah. Well, I got two on the plane, and then I got another two at the hotel.
Well, you look good.
Caffeine. That's why God made caffeine.
Two cups? I guess. Two cups? Four cups? I thought he was talking about hours of sleep. They didn't land until 3:15 Mountain Time. It's like 5 a.m. on the East Coast. And let's think about this. This is about a day and a half. Yeah. Yeah, about three quarters of a day worth of travel just to go to Phoenix from Connecticut. It don't take that damn long. And so, yeah, if they win on Saturday, and more importantly, if they end up winning the national championship, we won't hear the end of this. We're going to hear about this for years. Dan Hurley continued on, knowing that they had to go through a half day, a day of delays. What the hell did Dan Hurley do?
Yeah, I mean, I ruminated a lot. I spiraled. And then I had my head in my hands a lot. I know Andrea storied that pose yesterday. You know, because that the toughest part, we got a chance to go home, which was nice. So we sent the guys back to campus because then, you know, we were going to leave at 11:30. But then that it was a real mindful exercise from 11:30 to like 1:45 on the tarmac. You know, it was therapeutic to watch the de-icing out the window. That was probably the best part of it.
De-icing, okay. Hickey, you ever been on a plane where they had to de-ice the plane while you were on it?
No, I've been on a plane where the pilot's not been there, but I've not been on a plane when they're de-icing it.
Hey, I gotta write this down so I don't forget. When we come back on the other side, I got two stories for you. One is from the Super Bowl. I had to stop in Chicago. Super Bowl Chicago story. And then you want to talk about a pilot not on the plane. I had a pilot forget his paperwork on the plane. Pilot forgets paperwork. These are two stories that I'm going to share on the other side of the break. But we just heard Dan Hurley talk about ruminating. He had a lot of time to think about things. Hickey, I saw a story earlier today where it said scientists just tested a way to deflect the sun. They are putting aerosols. They've tested putting aerosols into the open air over oceans. So, you know, evaporation, the ocean gets warm and then it turns into the clouds. It goes into the sky. Yes, makes sense?
Right.
Yes. And so these aerosols that would end up in the sky amongst the clouds, these aerosols would help block the sun and in turn help cool down the earth, which is overheating.
Isn't that what we've been trying? I thought global warming were trying to get rid of the aerosols. Now you're saying we got to put them back into the air?
No, that's carbon. It's, we don't want the carbon in the air because it creates a block of heat. It's like if Earth was under a comforter right now. Makes sense? It's trapped.
Right.
And so, yeah, the sun comes through either way and heats things up, but then the air can't get out. It's just all stuck. So what they want to do is deflect the sunlight. That's what they want to do.
Hmm.
They want to play with the clouds. They're basically creating, well, they also in other parts of the world, maybe even here, you know, they're making clouds to, force rain. Oh, wow. Hey, I just live here, Hickey. I just live here. I'm not God. I don't create clouds and rain and deflect sun. I just live here until I don't. Talk about sports, and then I read stories like that. Wild stuff. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. We'll talk some more college ball and commiserate about airplane travel on the other side of the break here on CBS Sports Radio.
This is Matt Spiegel, and we are off and running with Season 2 of the PBP, Voices of Baseball. The very best play-by-play voices in the game talk about their craft. Hear guests like Joe Davis explain the thought process during baseball's biggest games.
You got to widen the lens. What does this home run mean?
The swing of his life!
Incredible broadcasters sharing great stories from your favorite teams with new episodes weekly. Find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts.